is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blank sitting in for Clark today. Glad you could join us as we wind our way down to the end of the year. The census announced today that the U.S. population is going to be near 313 million on New Year's Day as we hit the day. I've been hearing from people all over on Twitter, I don't know why, who have December 31st birthdays. My response to that is great tax deduction for your parents. Most people want to be like the first baby of the new year, but all parents want their kids to come by 11:59 p.m. on December 31st. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. ThinkGlink.com, ThinkGlink.com. When you're at ThinkLink, don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter and get access to all the great conversations that we have going on about all things personal finance and real estate related. A lot of news today. We'll talk about this as we go through the show, but unemployment numbers, first time unemployment numbers, up 15,000, still below where it's been, below that 400,000 mark, but we'll talk about what might be going on there. Some early read on the Christmas numbers looks like the actual dollar volume of sales are up, but profits seem to be down. That's due to the sales volume up. It's due to all those people who went out shopping in the middle of the night, apparently. Stores opening up very, very late and staying getting open very, very early in the morning. That helped pull out shoppers. But huge discounting seems to have taken a bite out of the profits, so we'll talk a little bit more about that and what people were doing. I do know one person, my physical therapist, who I saw this morning, said that at 11:59 on December 24th, he suddenly realized that the little camera he had bought his daughter came without a memory card. And so he went out to the 24-hour Walgreens looking for memory cards in the middle of the night. So I guess it's good that there are 24-hour services somewhere around there. Now, there's a couple of other things I want to talk about today. I came back, I said yesterday, from Costa Rica, where I was traveling with my extended family. And just going through customs, going through all this crazy stuff, Qantas has introduced a brand new system. And there's a couple of other systems around that are aiming to speed people through using technology and RFID technology to speed travelers on their way. Great story in today's Wall Street Journal. We'll talk about that. And where I want to start today, and we're going to get to your questions in just a moment, is the ability that you have to say, let's make a deal to cable companies. So what you've probably been seeing, and I'm sure Clark's talked about this before, is that, you know, the price of cable, basic cable, all the fancy stuff has just gone through the roof. And every time, you know, the price goes up a buck for you, it's probably another $40 million that goes into the pocket of the cable company. And so there are usually, to get everybody on board, little gimmies, right? 3 to 6 month promotional deals that really, you know, save you a ton of money. They want to get you on board, and then they're going to, you know, jack up the price. Well, what most people have been finding, and we've been doing this as well, Sam, my husband, has definitely does this every 3 to 6 months. I think we get 6 month deals. If you go and you basically ask for a deal at the end of the expiration of your promotional time period, you're very likely to get it. And so just by asking for these discounts, you can knock 20 to 30 bucks or about 350 bucks a year off your cable bill. So, yeah, you're not going to go from 120 bucks to say 40 necessarily, but you might go from 100 bucks down to say 50 or to 70 and make it much more affordable. And just by threatening to cancel the service or actually even switching to another provider, and then you switch back at the end of the next six-month period, or just sit on hold for an hour, you just have to be diligent. And so, you know, where is this coming from? Well, according to, you know, some of the different services that monitor this kind of thing, the average cable TV subscriber pays about $128 a month in fees for all of their services, including TV, Internet, and phone. right? And that's nearly three times the average of $48 a month that they paid in 2001. Well, what's happening? Well, there's an increase in programming, particularly sports, and that gets passed along. With the recession, cable companies are losing tons and tons of subscribers, right? Because the high costs are driving people away. I mean, who can afford $128 a month? That's a lot of money over the course of a year. So Comcast said they lost 442,000 video subscribers in the first month of the year. Time Warner lost 319,000 in the first 9 months of the year. So they're trying to get more competitive. They are trying to bring down these costs, and you know, they're offering stripped-down plans to retain viewers. So Comcast now has a digital economy tier that sells for between $29 and $39, depending on the area. The next tier, which offers ESPN, is about $58. So it depends what you want. Like in our house, there's only one person, my son Michael, who watches ESPN nonstop. So if he will, you know, if he suddenly decides to not watch ESPN, we could be shaving another $20 off our cable bill, probably. But understanding what's being offered and how much that costs and what you can live with, like maybe you just need basic cable up to 100 channels, the first 100 channels, and whatever. Do with whatever you can, as little as you can. And if you can, it makes it easy. You just you know, get rid of it. But don't underestimate the power of negotiation, because bundling services together is one way to get a discount, and then just simply asking for a discount, watching the ads for the promotional offers, and then calling and taking advantage of them. And the place that you want to call, of course, is customer retention, right? Because they're trying to retain you as a customer. And they usually have decision-making power, and getting to the person who has the ability to say yes is incredibly, incredibly important. I realized this again, like I needed to have this hit with this over again, but one of the hotels we stayed at in Costa Rica, we had a few service issues, let's call them, and a lot of it is just bad training, but whatever, it rankles me, the customer no service economy, whatever, got imported over. Anyway, it's an American company, it's a chain hotel, and we went to the guy who's the said he was the supervisor for the whole thing up at the front desk, and you could just tell that the guy felt bad for what had happened, but had no power to actually do anything about it or make amends. It's really interesting. So when you're not talking to anybody who's a decision maker and nobody who has the ability to do anything, whether you're trying to knock down your cable bill or you're trying to get, you know, something adjusted at a hotel, wherever it is, you're not going to get anywhere. And so that's why you go to the customer retention department when you're in a cable bill situation, because those are the folks. They have the ability to put dollars behind what they say. Knowing where to go, just as important as knowing what to ask for. 404-872-0750. It's 15 minutes past the hour. 29th, hard to believe. Mike joins us on the line all the way from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Elise. I have a question where we remodeled our kitchen, and the contractor uses a big bank to finance the remodeling. They give you 10 months to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
We started this in May. We completed it in August. I retired in July, and so I knew that I was going to retire, and I had some money, you know, from my pension. And I said to the vendor, I want to know what my final bill is. They said $3,528. I paid that. About a month and a half later, I get a bill from the bank that says you owe $1,744.
Really?
So I had already talked to the bank, and I told them, I said, I'm retiring. I want to make sure I pay this because I'm on a fixed income, you know, now, and I don't want to pay anything further later on. The bank said, no, this is all we have. The vendor I called three times, and she seemed to be upset. But I said, I want to make sure I'm paying this exact amount. And so
Was this in writing anywhere?
No, it wasn't in writing.
Okay.
But so I have never received a finalized bill showing that what they've installed, what they've completed. I only have the quotes from when I started this.
Did you sign a contract with them?
I did.
And what did the contract say?
It says that I have 10 months to pay without interest. Otherwise, the interest goes to 29%. And, you know, what they do is immediately when you go in and you go over the plans, they get you accepted by this bank with a credit line.
Okay.
and I got the credit line.
All right. So they finished the work. Did you get a lien waivers from them?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And you don't have anything in writing. And so what was the final amount when the vendor, you know, said this is what it is? Then what happened?
Well, they said originally it was $3,528.60 or 40 cents, whatever. But
and then you paid the extra grand from the bank, so it was $4,500 and whatever.
Well, no. See, initially I knew that this was going to happen, so what we did was put down $3,000 initially because they advertised for $59.95. You don't get that. Nobody gets that because the quality of the materials, you know, don't equal that price. So you're always going to spend more. But my contention is I think the bank is not really looking at the contractor and policing them. They're just going by their word.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be a big bank all over the country. They're a big bank in the other parts of the country. They're climbing here to the East Coast. So what I fear is this contractor is advertising on local TV, and he's growing. He's opening up stores like crazy.
Okay. How are you harmed?
Well, the fact that I asked to pay and I wanted to pay, you know, the amount that I owed and get it done with, and I did do that. And then for them to come back a month later and say, well, this is another $1,700 that you owe.
Okay, and what did you tell them? I'm not paying that because you told me I don't owe it?
Well, I know enough that I can't do that I might be have a contractor's lien on my home and I would
yes, but then they would have
credit.
But they would have to perfect the lien. So you just coughed up. They said $3,500, and then you paid that, and then they asked for another $1,700, and you paid that too.
Well, I'm paying it. I'm debating. I'm paying the monthly. If you pay the monthly minimum, it'll take 3 years, and then you'll pay the 29%. So I'm paying more than that, so that I even would get it paid in the 10 months.
Okay.
But what I mean, I don't know that this is the good way of doing business.
It's a terrible way of doing business. You've been taken advantage of, and you've made some mistakes that made it easy for them to take advantage of, I'm sorry to say,
okay.
Which is not getting, you know, not having the contract be really specific, not understanding or not getting them to understand, you guys just, you know, what you were willing to pay for and what you weren't. You've taken a lot of stuff from them for granted. They haven't given you lien waivers. Before you pay them another cent, if they've finished all the work, I would want lien waivers.
Okay.
And I want a lien waiver from them. And
from the contractor?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then they'll say to you, well, we're not going to give you lien waivers until you finish paying. And I would say, you know what, that's just not part of the deal. It doesn't say that in the contract, and perhaps I need to call my lawyer.
Okay.
So you probably should have shown this to an attorney.
Okay, that's what I was going to...
I think I would show it to an attorney because I think $1,700, an extra $1,700 for no explanation of why it's an extra $1,700 is another third of what you're paying, and I think that's outrageous, and I think you need some explanation before you just start coughing up money. I would start to hit back a little bit, and, you know, I don't know how you found these guys or if you had actually checked them out ahead of time.
Well, we did, and we actually looked at another contractor. They both advertise around the same price, but, again, when you go and actually, like, they charge you to remove the cabinets, they charge you to dispose of the cabinets, they charge you for everything.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, checking them out and making sure that they're actually legitimate people and not scam artists. And, you know, it sounds to me a little scammy, the whole thing, and maybe it's not, and it just was extra, but they didn't communicate that to you, they didn't tell you. And I would push back, and I would also have your attorney take a look at the contract to make sure that there isn't anything else hidden in there legally that you don't understand. 21 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm Elyse Glink. Be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 26 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elyse Glink, sitting in for Clark today. So glad you could join us. You know, if you're missing your Clark fix, then the place you're going to want to go, of course, is to the ClarkHoward.com website. So that's up and about, and, you know, certainly you'll be able to get lots of great information there. And glad that I've been able to join you today, yesterday and today. It's a whole lot of fun, and love spending the day with you. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Let's see if we can get a quick call in. Philip joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Philip, what you thinking?
Hi, how are you doing today?
Thank you.
My question was, you were talking about With cable bills, now after 6 months, you just got to call the right person to make the right deal.
Yep.
My question went is based on credit cards. Is there a way to, after, you know, a certain period of time, you've overpaid or you restored your credit, is there, how do you go about negotiating a lower interest rate?
You know, you can ask for it, but the truth is that if you are carrying a balance, they're typically not going to lower your interest rate all that much. Do you, so are you carrying a balance?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's where you'd want to, if you're, but if you have improved your credit, you can always ask for the customer retention. And you, if you've got a deal that you can switch to, right, that's sort of the key thing. What's the competition?
Yes.
So if you've gone to cardweb.com or cardtrack.com, you found another deal, you've applied for the card, you qualify, you then you call them and say, hey, I got this 0% financing deal for 6 months, and I'm going to switch it over. Is there anything you can do for me? And then they'll say either yes, we can, or no, we can't. And if they say no, you just switch it over. But leave that card open, because if you've had it for a long time, you want the length of your credit to be counted for in your credit score. So you don't want to close that card. You just want to move the money over and pay a whole lot less so that you can pay it off faster. And that's really the best way to negotiate with credit card companies. 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Blank. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more coming up next on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blank, sitting in for Clark today. So glad you could join us. I just love this week. I love the time between Christmas and, of course, all the returns of the Christmas holiday season on Monday. Hope you did that. All the way up to the beginning of the new year, it just feels like so much energy and excitement. And for the first time in a whole bunch of years, I have to say I'm more optimistic about our prospects for 2012, and I hope you feel the same way. I don't know if it's the fact that unemployment seems to be going down a little bit. Companies seem to be doing a little more with hiring. I just, you know, maybe it just feels a little bit better. We'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, Happy New Year to everybody, all of Clark's listeners and all of mine. And we're so glad you could join us today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online, my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. All right, let's continue on with our phone call. 38 minutes past the hour. Heather joins us on the line from North Carolina. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
How are you?
I am good. I'm calling. I called about an email that I received from Red Bull, which is the energy drink. They sent an email out saying, you know, we're looking for prospects and we've picked you.
We've selected you.
Pretty
wow,
much.
You must feel very special.
Well, we get these, and we know ones that are, we kind of know the ones that are spam, but my husband and I were looking at it, and he said, you know, just give Clark a call, or give, you know, give you your line a call.
Right.
They're not asking for any money. They're not. They're basically saying, you know, provide us just with your address, your basic information, your the car that they would be putting the Red Bull sign on. And it's an assignment that goes for 3 months, and you participate for at least 1 month, with a minimum of 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
But they compensate you. There is no money out of your pocket. And so we were just kind of wondering, is this a scam?
Well, when I looked it up on the Internet, and I just put into the Google search engine, Red Bull advertising on cars scam, with a question mark, the first six things that came up are Red Bull car adverts money laundering scam. Car advertising scam. Red Bull car advertising anti-fraud scam. I do think it is a scam. The question is what happens, and what I couldn't find, probably because I only went, you know, on the first, you know, couple of pages of Google, but there's just pages and pages and pages on this. And I've seen the ad, exactly the same ad that you've seen, and there are names like Hendra Cole, hiring manager. And some of these have better writing than others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's better, you know, you get people who say, you know, just the spelling is all off. But some of them are actually spelled correctly. But all in all, it appears that this is a scam. So what must happen is when they eventually do this and you say, yes, I'll do it, and here's my information, and, of course, they ask you for all of your, you know, everything that they would need to steal everything from you. So your name, your age, your occupation, the make of your year, your car, the year it is, address, city, state, zip code, phone numbers, email address. And then it's going to come to how are we going to pay you, and you're gonna, they're going to ask for a credit card number. And this must be how it works. And you're going to give them a credit card, not a credit card number, they're going to ask for your bank account, you're going to give it, and suddenly all your money's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So I think that must be how the back end of the scam actually works, although I wasn't able to find it. But I would assume if I were doing it, that's what I would do, right? Because if you can get somebody to give you all that other information, they probably don't even need your bank account number once they have all that other information. They could probably just steal it as it is.
Right. They only ask for our address, the make of the car, and our phone number. They actually state that payment would be made through a check via a courier service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we thought, okay, we know not to give, obviously, give out any pertinent information. The body of the email is written well, like you said. So that's why we thought, well, this is odd. We don't get anything like this ever. So that's why. And we know we've kind of familiarized ourselves with what spam and everything, but just this kind of caught us off guard, and so we thought we would call and ask. We haven't obviously responded. So.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, really you have to wonder what's going on. If you go to the Red Bull site, the actual, you know, Red Bull, you can kind of see what they do. And the last thing, I have never seen a car with a Red Bull ad on it. Have you?
My husband says that he has.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah.
So perhaps that is something that they do. But I just think it's sort of not likely that this is real. But obviously the only thing you could do would be to call the Red Bull company itself.
Right.
And talk to somebody who's in the marketing department and ask them. And we didn't have time to do that during the commercial break when you called in. But, you know, certainly it's something that, and it's great advice for anybody who's considering this kind of stuff. Anytime you get something that just seems, you know, like a spam thing, you would want to call the company directly, separately to check it out.
Right.
But I just, you know, cannot recommend that you take them up on this kind of offer.
Right. We're definitely not, but we just thought we would ask and see.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing to do always, the second best thing is if you're going to do a call the company. But, you know, I have found out so much amazing stuff from Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you could do it with Bing as well, where you literally put in exactly what you're looking for and you see what comes up. And it's, you know, it's seriously enough to scare you.
Right.
Because even if yours is well written, the fact that I on page one of this of the Google search returns that I was able to find out and see the identical ad but written badly just shows you that this is coming from abroad. The other thing that scared me about this is that a lot of this stuff seems to be coming, they've got pound instead of dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start getting into kind of British pounds,
right.
In my mind, that means Africa is involved.
Yeah.
And where do all the big, not all the big, but where do a lot of the big internet scams come from? They come from Africa.
Right, yeah. This has the dollar signs, but right. Those are all definitely signs that that we would, because we've seen the lira and stuff like that.
Yep.
The lira sign and all that, and of course we spam it.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I definitely think, if you look at Squidoo, Squidoo.com, there are all kinds of, you know, free car scams and get paid for, you know, putting stuff on your car and all the rest of it. But I just think this kind of stuff you got to stay away from. I'm sorry, though, because it sounds like a great opportunity if it were real.
Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I don't really know where I'm home.
That's right.
It's kind of odd. So anyway, well, I appreciate your information. It really helps us out, and obviously we're not going to take action on this. We're just going to spam it and leave it alone.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you. Happy New Year. 44 minutes past the hour of the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Frank joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Frank.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm just working for a living.
I understand. Me too. What's going on in your world today?
I got a little question for you. We are considering buying a home. We have a 401k. We have a savings.
You know, Frank, I'm losing you a little bit. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's try and don't move around too much.
Okay.
This is a good place. So you're considering buying a home. You have a 401k. Are you, what else?
We have some money in the 401k and the savings to buy the home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just wondering, do we take the money from the 401k from the savings?
I would always, if you have money in your savings account, I would always take that over money from a 401k. Because if you take money from a 401k, you're going to have to pay taxes on it. And if you're under the age of 59 and a half, there's a 10% penalty on it. So borrowing money from a 401k, in my mind, is even worse. Because if you end up getting laid off, or you end up leaving the company for whatever reason, say you decide to retire or you decide to change jobs, all that money you borrowed has to be paid back within 60 days. So 401k money is usually my last choice for something. And if you've got money in savings, then that means that you know it's readily accessible, it's liquid. That would be the place that I would buy it from. And then you have a backup in case something happens and you need more. You know, I would never consider liquidating entirely. But if you've got enough in savings to get 20% down, that's all you need. 404-872-0750 is our number. It's 46 minutes past the hour. Courtney joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Elise.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I recently had an unfavorable experience trying to refi.
What happened?
Well, primarily because the appraisal came in like $30,000 less than the appraisal that we had done in July to have our PMI dropped.
Yep.
So, but I really can use some extra money because my husband, he was out of work for a year and he had a motorcycle accident and he was going to go back to work. We actually went back to work for a few days and then his father had a stroke. And so he's now, we're going to take another year and hope that his dad gets back on his feet and become more independent. So he's going to take another year off from work and help his dad.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if I should try to refinance again so I can try to get, you know, it looks like I can maybe get $60 a month.
Well, who's bringing in the money right now?
I am.
Okay. Is your income enough to cover the entire mortgage refinancing? Do you qualify for all of it?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I do. The last time we, I've always been primary. If that makes, he's
yeah.
been kind
mm-hmm.
of a part time. You know, he's a kind of stay at home dad working part time.
Got it.
Kind of deal
mm-hmm.
beforehand.
Okay, so you're the breadwinner, or the primary.
Yes.
So you've always been the one qualifying anyway. Fine.
Right. So I don't think that would be an issue because and also because my current salary would equal, I guess twice my salary would equal what we need to refinance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be sufficient also, and then we have no other debt other than a car payment.
Fantastic.
And when we went through the refinancing just a few months ago, when we were trying to do that process, my scores are all in the 790s. So
those are great.
So I don't think that'd be a, but my hesitancy is that, of course, there are closing costs involved. And so it would probably cut our save, because, you know, we've got about, well, it would probably cut my savings, take about a third, maybe
okay.
a little bit more, I think, for the refinancing cost.
So if you did a cash-in refi, you have the cash,
mm-hmm.
you could put it in, and it would, tell me what that would do for your interest rate.
Well, beforehand, we're trying to apply for a 20-year
mm-hmm.
at 3.5, and we were approved for that. It's just that our appraisal came in, and we had to bring, like, an extra $1,000. I didn't think the appraisal was right, and I didn't have time to rebut it because the stroke had just happened.
Yeah.
I was traveling for business. But looking back, I mean, I think even if the appraisal were to come back again, kind of lowballed, I think that I found enough information recently that I could rebut it.
You don't get to rebut appraisals. They'd have to send another one out.
Okay.
And you'd have to help with that. It's entirely possible that the appraisal was erroneous, but I don't know if you were listening to yesterday's show. I talked about how in Atlanta, particularly, home prices are down significantly year to year and even month to month. Atlanta is one of the maybe top 10 or 15 worst places for foreclosures in the country, and so prices here are falling more. I mean, you know, people have complained to me via Twitter and email. They feel like they walk in their front door and now the prices are just falling all around them.
Sure.
And 7 years ago, everybody's like, oh, I feel like I walk outside and prices are rising as I'm standing there. So We've seen the best of it and the worst of it. It's possible. Is it possible it's fallen another 30,000 since July? It seems unlikely unless you happen to be unfortunate enough to have a couple of foreclosures sell right in your neighborhood.
Well, that's what it was. It was,
yeah.
Even though there was 18 houses, they said that were comparable, they chose the two foreclosures.
Yeah, well, that's
out of
what,
the three.
Yeah.
So, unless two out of three of the 18, I don't see how that was really fair.
Well, that is how they do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the problem with foreclosures. But have you called and talked to them about it yet?
No, I haven't, because I was just trying to figure out, you know, should I even...
Here's what I would. Here's what I would do.
When there's so much going on in my life.
No, you don't have to, right? I mean, interest rates are really low. They're going to be low for a while. You can call and just say, I want to have a conversation with you about this. Help me understand why with 18 comps, these are the two that they used when actually there's 16 others. And do you think this is right, or should we pay to have another appraisal done? And then you would have to work with that appraiser to make sure that they're looking at everything. But if you have the cash and it's easy and you can quickly do it and it'll save you money, I just think that spending $30,000 in cash to save $60 a month doesn't make any sense. And I would hate to see you use up all of that cash when the end result is you could just use that cash to prepay your mortgage and you'd probably end up with the net same amount of interest saved. So I'm not sure this makes sense for you. And you might just want to, since your husband's going to be taking off time and working with your dad, your father-in-law, you may just want to hold tight for a while and see what happens. And, you know, that way the cash stays with you. You don't have to worry about it. You can prepay your mortgage a little bit. Maybe everybody comes out a winner. 404-872-0750. Happy New Year, Courtney. I hope it's a good one for your father-in-law. 52 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 57 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling, filling in for Clark today. So glad you could join us here on News Talk WSB. So we've had some tweets since the beginning when we were talking about how you could talk to your cable company and talk them down off the ledge and get a discount for your trouble, which is kind of nice. Paul tweeted that it's called empowerment, and it's a cruel fact that some companies don't empower their employees to satisfy customers, which is, I think, completely true. I wish that more companies, and this is maybe one of my wishes for 2012, more companies would take the time to empower people who have customer service experience and are on that front line to actually help them make customers happy. It would be so great if they actually did that. It would just be amazing. I'm finding, and one thing that's been great about 2011, as we've moved in to the year, social media has become a customer service platform, almost a premier platform. Companies are spending money, big bucks, to hire people who are knowledgeable about social media and can actually respond to people and help things out. So if you're having trouble with a company, head to Twitter, Facebook. These are great places to go and have your complaint heard and acted on. 58 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
The hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blake, sitting in for Clark today. So glad you could join us as we wind our way down to the end of the year. I don't know about you, but my favorite month of the year is January because anything is possible. And after a whole bunch of years of recession and feeling like we're still in a recession, it's nice to actually start to think about a whole new year and the opportunities that it brings. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. The last couple of days, Challenger Gray and Christmas has held their annual Let Us Help You Get a Job days. It was Tuesday and Wednesday of this year. And they issued a survey about all the different people who called in. They're a Chicago-based outplacement firm, but they work worldwide. And they sent out this press release saying that in the survey they took, nearly half of people who called their helpline had been out of work for more than a year, which is really a huge amount of time in the unemployment rails. What they said, though, on the more positive side, is that the people who did call into the annual job search hotline were more optimistic than a year ago. So nearly 30% estimated they'd find a job within 3 months. A year ago, just 18% said that in 2010. But also surging is the number of people who thought it might take more than a year to find employment. So 10% of the job seekers who called the hotline thought the search would last more than 12 months. A year ago, just 4% said they thought it would be a prolonged search. There were more than 600 calls to the job search advice hotline. They helped more than 1,000 job seekers, 77% who were unemployed. It's down just slightly from the previous two years. But according to John Challenger, who runs the firm, he said there's a lot more uncertainty. The percentage of callers expecting the job search to last 7 to 9 months increased from 6% a year ago to 14% this year. Overall, 65% of people who called said they'd find a job in 6 months or less, and he thought that that was a pretty realistic assessment. In a healthy economy, a successful job search might take 2 to 3 months. In a tight job market, such as the one we're in now, he said it's not unusual to see even high-quality candidates take 4 to 6 months to find the right job. For the unemployed callers, almost 40% have been out of work for 1 to 6 months. Another 14% have been jobless for 7 to 12 months. 50% of those who called had been jobless for a year or more, and 60% of that group had been out of work for 2 years or longer. Really tough stuff. So let's hope that 2012 is going to turn things around, and help us create something much more interesting. The Bureau of Labor Statistics showed that employers nationwide hired over 4 million new workers in October. There were still another 3.3 million job openings at the end of the month. Employers have been hiring about 4 million new workers per month for several months. But a lot of these hires are replacing retirees or former workers who have quit, and there are a lot of jobs that are still being lost. And so there are people getting hired, people getting fired. At least something's happening out there. So we'll watch these numbers as the year goes on, and we'll talk more about it on my Sunday show. If you don't listen to the show, we're on every Sunday morning, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. All right, let's go back to the phones, 404-872-0750. Let me get my technology working. Here we go. Don joins us on the line from Norcross. Hi, Don. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hi, Elise. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm great, thanks. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Thanks.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Got a quick question. I'm a landlord, and I've experienced something that, for the first time earlier this year, due to the economy, some of my tenants lost their jobs, and they were not able to pay. Some of them have left without paying me what they do. So I'm trying to figure out what is the best way to go after some of these people so they can pay me what they owe me.
Well, in some ways, I think this might be a wasted effort on your part.
Okay.
Because if they've lost their job and they're living on unemployment, they probably don't have any money. Right?
Okay.
I'm sure they didn't want to leave your place, right? I'm sure it's a nice place to live. They just couldn't afford it, and they left. So if you chase them, I assume you had a month of rent from them, you know, held in advance, right? As a security deposit?
Yes.
But, so
I know at least of one case where the individual is working now.
Okay. And how much do they owe you? 1 month's rent?
They owe me about 3 months' rent.
Okay, so you let them keep staying there even though they couldn't pay you?
Right. They were paying me partially is what happened while they were trying to rearrange things and survive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that I let them stay there until they found another job, and then they can slowly make up what they owed me.
Okay.
But then they moved out, and then they didn't pay me at all.
Well, if you know where they're working, you can always you could go to court, and you could sue them for the missing money, and you could ask a judge to impose something so that their pay would get a part of their pay would be taken away, right? You can try that. You're going to have court costs and legal fees associated with it, and then you're going to have to collect it and get the company to work with you. Okay. So how much do they actually owe you? Because that process could cost you several thousand dollars.
Okay. Well, one of them owes me a little bit over close to $4,000.
Okay. So you could go to small claims court and work the system yourself and see how that goes and how much time it takes and if you're able to actually get anything. And maybe there'll be just the thought of having to go to court and show up. Maybe that'll scare them into actually paying you something, and maybe you can just arrange a settlement where, you know, they say, well, I can give you $2,000, and you say, fine, I'll take it.
Right.
So, I, you know, small claims court is a good place to try. They're pretty nice there about helping people through the system. I personally haven't done it, but I know people who have, and that would be a place to go. Now, the problem is if you have tenants that you don't know where they are and they may have left the state, it makes it a lot harder.
Okay.
So you can try to look online to see if you can find them. You can go to their Facebook pages and see if you can track them that way.
Okay.
And then you can try and figure out where they're living. But if they don't have a job, I don't know what you're going to get out of it other than just getting it on, you know, paper in court that they owe you money. And so if you have the time and you don't mind doing this, you can go ahead and try.
Okay. Excellent. I guess the second part of my question was, do you know any methods of how to get more information about where they live? Is it possible I can get the courts maybe to ask the post office for their address or something like that, of that nature?
You know, you can try, but typically I think Facebook is sort of the best, is a great, easy way.
Okay.
And then you can try, if you have a cell phone number that's still working, you can try to track it back through the cell phone number. You can get the court, ask the courts to get, ask the cell phone company to release information to you.
Okay.
I don't know if they will. But there are, you know, different ways to go about in tracking them down. Do they each owe you that much money? Does everybody owe you $4,000?
No, well, I've got one of them that owes me quite a bit.
Okay. Well, if you're owed a significant amount of money, it's worth going to court, claims court, and you have the time, doing it yourself, and trying to get back. It sounds like you were trying to be a good guy.
I did.
And they just stepped on you, and that's really awful because there aren't enough good guys in this world.
That's correct.
and I don't blame you for being upset and mad. I don't want you to do is just waste a whole lot of time that you may or may not have to end up getting nothing. But if you have the time and you're willing to do it, small claims court, try it out.
You bet. I appreciate your help, and keep up the good work, and long-time listener.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you. Bye. 15 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Mike joins us on the line from Flowery Branch. Hey, Mike.
Hey. I just got a quick question. I bought a owner finance property with a homeowner. And we closed on it probably last year with a $5,000 close to the lawyer. So the place is in my name, but the old owner is a like the lien holder, like a bank would be if you went to a bank.
Okay.
And he called me up and said he was going to send me a 1099, and I was trying to figure out how I could get a 1099 off of it.
You want the 1099, or he's sending you a 1099 and you don't know why?
Yeah, he's sending me a 1099, and I don't know why.
He's sending you a 1099 because you've paid him, I assume, interest on the money.
Okay.
And he's sending you a 1099 that shows that you've paid that, so that you can turn around and use it for your taxes, is my guess, if that's really what he's sending you. So this is kind of a good thing, right, because you want to show the IRS that you've made payments on a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And this should show that.
Okay, that clears it up a little bit better, because I thought it was 1099 before the bad part of it. Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I guess I don't really know. But if you had closing costs, right, those may be deductible in the year of purchase. And so he may be sending that to you with the interest as well. It sounds like he actually has somebody who knows something about taxes who's helping him out. And he's getting his year-end stuff in order, and it doesn't sound scary to me at all. It sounds like a good thing, but, of course, you'll want to check it out with your tax advisor.
All righty. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Happy New Year. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Rachel joins us on the line from Tucker. Hey, Rachel. Rachel, you with us?
Hi, yes.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks. How can I help today?
I was calling in regards to a letter or statement that I got in the mail. My husband and I just recently, or a few months ago, refinanced our house, and we're getting a similar statement in the mail for the second time, and I wasn't sure if it was actually worth doing. And the only reason why I was inquiring about it is because I mentioned something about a return in premium. It's called a mortgage, life, and disability coverage.
Okay.
And it's supposed to cover just in case if there's death or disability or critical illness. And then if we don't use any of our funds or any of our benefits, then 100% of our premiums will be returned to us at the end of our policy term. And the only reason why I was inquiring about it is because I myself have short-term and long-term disability. However, my husband does not. And I was wondering if it's similar in monthly cost for short-term or long-term disability, would this be beneficial to get for our house?
All right, well, I'm so glad you called about this because this is one of my pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
So mortgage, life, and disability coverage, what it is as you've described, if you die or if you get injured, it'll kick in some money for your payments. What I don't like about it is it tends to be really expensive, and you're paying more for a declining liability, right? Because every month you pay in your mortgage payment, and you reduce the amount that you owe, the balance, and so there's less and less for you to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that it's really expensive. And so the question that you have to ask yourself is, do you have enough in disability coverage already that if you're disabled, you'll still be able to make your payments? If the answer is yes, I would much prefer that you guys use this money and buy term life insurance. Term life insurance is so much better because if you die and you want to keep the mortgage, like maybe you have a mortgage at 4% or 3.25%, why would you ever want to pay that off?
Mm-hmm.
So this money would only pay that off, whereas if you had a term life policy, you could decide whatever you wanted to do with it. So mm-hmm. the best thing you could do, in my mind, is buy term life insurance.
Okay, so term life can be used outside of death?
No, it cannot be used outside of death, but you already have short and long-term disability.
That's for myself, and my husband does not have short-term or long-term disability.
But I assume that if something happened to him, you would keep working.
Yes, I would, but his half of the income would be gone.
Right. So it's probably cheaper for him to buy a disability policy.
Okay.
Where it would cover for that than to buy this.
Okay.
Because there would be other costs associated with him becoming disabled. And you would want to not just pay off the mortgage, you would want other income coming in and then decide how to use it. So I would much prefer that if he needs disability coverage, to buy disability coverage. And if not, I would prefer that you both buy term life insurance over spending money on this. This is one of my least favorite types of insurance.
Okay. Yes, we both do have life insurance, term life insurance.
Okay. Well, this would be... I would, again, put the money towards a disability policy for him.
Okay.
So that he could replace 60 or 70% of his income.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you would be better. That would just provide a better service. You can look at it and compare, but I would not just use this. I would go do a full search and see how much, you know, you'd have to pay, what's out there. You know, just because somebody sent you something, I would talk to the people who currently offer you your different insurance policies. I would go look online and search out at insure.com. If you're really going to do it, that's where I would do it. But I would do all that research and look for a good disability policy instead. 404-872-0750, 21 minutes past the hour. I'm Elyse Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB. 27 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elyse Kling sitting in for Clark. I don't know if you've checked out the Equifax Finance blog, but this is a blog full of money experts that I edit. I also contribute to it at Equifax.com. You also might want to check out what we've been doing over at MoneyWatch.com. CBS Money Watch now lives on the CBS News site, and we've been blogging all month about different celebrities and Christmas stuff, great Christmas decorations. If you've got a photo that shows a house that's been done up to the max, I would love to see it. We've been posting those all month. It's just been so much fun. We talked about Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi and what they're buying and all the rest. So moneywatch.com, and then for really hardcore information that you can use to improve your personal finances in 2012, you definitely want to go over to moneywatch.com and check out the links there. We have 100 stock market up about 114 points. The news today was good for housing stocks. Home improvement companies and mortgage lenders all trading higher, buoyed by a report showing that the number of Americans who put down contracts for a house had risen in November to the highest level in a year and a half. So the index of sales agreements jumped about 7.3%. to a reading just over 100, and a reading of 100 is considered healthy. The last time the index was that high was in April of 2010, one more month before the federal tax credits expired. So that's actually great. One problem that we're seeing is that these sales are falling apart at a far higher rate than ever, but at least it was a little bit of good news, and the stock market has responded. 404-872-0750. When we come back, take more of your calls here on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining me here today. I'm Elise Glink. Can't believe it. We're at the end of another year. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Before we get to your calls, I just received the latest scam alert from the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, for today. And the report is based on information from law enforcement and complaints submitted to the IC3, and it details recent cybercrime trends, new twists to previously existing cyber scams and announcements. And earlier in the show, we were talking about a Red Bull scam where they try to get you to, it's like, we've selected you to put Red Bull ads on your car, and we'll pay you, just give us, you know, your bank account number. But what was interesting is this, is that today's scam alert talks about an article that was written detailing popular passwords. And it's from an internet site that manages passwords, and it talks about the lack of secure passwords being utilized and how that may be a factor in data breaches, past, present, and future. And one reason for the lack of security, and I totally identify with this, is the number of passwords a user is required to remember to access the many databases, applications, multiple networks used on a daily basis. And sharing passwords among users in a workplace is becoming a common theme to continue the flow of operations. So this, what's happening is basically people are prioritizing convenience over security when it comes to establishing passwords, and that's making it really easy for code breakers and hackers to get into systems. So here are the here are the 25 most common passwords, and I was looking at this list thinking, ooh, I need to change some passwords, I think, and I'm sure you will as well. So the number one, I'm going to provide these with the number one used password to the 25th most used password. Number one is the word password. So people just leave password at P-A-S-S-W-R-D. They don't even try and switch it around. That's the number one most common password. Number two, 123456. Oh, really? And number three is 123456789 when you actually have to have 8 digits. Fourth is QWERTY, the keyboard, Q-W-E-R-T-Y. Number five is ABC123, not too tricky. Six is monkey. I just saw a whole bunch of monkeys in Costa Rica. Number seven, 123456789. I just can't even believe this. Number eight, let me in. That was the one we used. We didn't use it, but that was years ago when we first set up our website. And we were on a test basis. It wasn't live yet. We let me in was the password. Number nine, trust no one. T-R-U-S-T-N-O-1, the number one. Number 10 is dragon. Number 11 is baseball. Number 12, this is great, 11-11-11. 13, this one's sort of sweet, I love you, one word. 14, master. 15, sunshine. 16 is Ashley. A lot of kids named Ashley? Don't know. 17 is Bailey. 18 is password, but the O in password is a zero as opposed to an O. 19 is shadow. 20 is 123123. 21 is 654321. Somebody got clever there. And 22 is Superman. And this one is the one that confuses me most. Number 23, most used password is QAZWSX. I'm not sure what that is. Cause Wessex. I don't know. 24 is Michael. My son's name is Michael. 25 is football. I'm going to take the list, and I'm going to post it over at thinklink.com. And then the other thing that happened is on November 28th, Cyber Monday, they were reporting that the Department of Homeland Security announced 150 website domain names were seized by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Homeland Security Division, the National Intellectual Property Rights Coordination Center, the Department of Justice, and the FBI Washington Field Office. These domains were illegally selling and distributing counterfeit merchandise, and the seized domains are now in the custody of the federal government. If you go to these sites, you're going to find some sort of banner or something indicating it's been seized by federal authorities. And you can get the link there as well. So if you don't get these updates, these scam alerts, anybody can get them in the public. You can go to the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, and it's ic3.gov, and it will give you access to all of this, and it'll just come in, and you'll be staying on top of Internet security. 404-872-0750, 41 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Kim joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
We are in a position where we desperately need to move, but we tried to sell our house. It didn't sell for a year and a half, so we took it off the market. We owe slightly more than it's worth, so we can't refinance. We're not allowed to have renters in the neighborhood. My husband and I both have excellent credit. We both have very secure jobs.
Why do you have to move?
It's a situation to keep my child in the school that he needs to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation, we sort of had an agreement worked out to get him to school, and that's no longer an option. And he needs to be in that school.
Okay.
So we need to move to get closer to the school because I no longer have a transportation option for him.
Okay.
And it's about a 55-mile drive from my house.
Wow. That's a long way to go.
Yes.
You're in a tough place. The refinancing wouldn't help you, although there is a new government program that you might qualify for. You can't rent. They're not going to give you an exception in your subdivision?
No, there's already too many rental properties.
Okay.
It's exceeded the number that was allowed.
Okay, and they don't want to make an exception?
No.
Okay, so is your house worth less than the mortgage amount? Are you underwater?
Just a little bit. We haven't had it appraised lately, but a house that's very, very similar to mine, that they got a contract on it for around $226. The appraisal came back at $189, so they weren't able to sell. We owe $201. It's like $201.5 right now.
Okay.
The difference between my house and that house is we put in all new flooring. We put in stainless steel appliances. We had the inside and outside painted. We did a lot to get it ready to sell.
Yep.
It didn't work. We know we're not going to get any of that money back. We're just not. And I haven't been inside the home that appraised for $189, but the agent that we talked to said the fact that we had it painted and, you know, put in better appliances is not really going to raise it that much.
No, but it might make it sell faster. So the idea is you want to be priced competitively but look better than everybody else.
Yeah,
Like I said,
we owe about $201. If you add on a commission for an agent and then the three agents that I've met with recently when we were thinking about putting it back on the market said everybody wants you to pay closing costs for them. We're also worried about it not appraising for enough for us to even break even.
You won't break even. I can't see you breaking even. I mean, if the homes are appraising for $189 and you owe $201, what did you pay for the house?
$285.
So you know you're not going to get $285.
No. I'm just talking about being able to walk away with not having to bring more than, you know, say $5,000 to the table just to get out of the house.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. My guess is you'll probably owe about $15,000 to $20,000. When you're all done, because you've got commission and you've got transfer taxes, and if you have to pay some closing costs for people, you know, and the appraisal comes in, you're going to have to pay the difference between, you know, you're going to have to pay off the house itself. They probably will come in at, if the appraisal is 189, that's what they're going to want to pay for the property, because otherwise they won't qualify for the mortgage.
Yeah.
So that's another, you know,
11.
So my sense is you're probably going to have to cough up about 20 to walk away.
Which we don't have.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm calling you with a pretty much impossible situation, but I was just hoping you had some magic solution.
I wish I did have a magic solution. I mean, this is a case, you know, my feeling is kids come first, right? So if you tell me that your son has to go to the school and it's 55 miles away, and there's no other option to get him there, like hiring a van or anything else, or if that's out of your means, then you have to sell. So then it's 401k money or Roth IRA, tapping out those. It's borrowing 20 grand from family members if they have it, even if you pay a low interest loan just to get out. Those are going to be your options.
Yeah, we thought about all that too.
Any of that possible?
Can you
raise the money in a couple of different places, like maybe 10 grand from the 401k and 10 from somewhere else?
I do have enough in stocks that I could sell it right now and come up with probably 18 to 20.
Okay.
I could, you know, that was the money we were going to use for a down payment to buy something else, so.
Okay, but so you're just making the investment in your child? And not in yourself. This is, you know, you started out this conversation telling me your son has to go to this school. I get that. You know, whatever issues or whatever is making you make that choice, everything else has to come second. And as a mom, I totally understand it, and I'm supporting you in it. So owning another house, that'll happen someday. You know, you'll move to this place, you'll absorb the loss. You'll start saving again. Maybe you'll end up buying an FHA foreclosure, also known as a HUD home, where you have to put only down $100. Right? So you may not need that $20,000 that you have identified. And that's just the price you're going to pay for having to sell in a place. Now, are you going to be 55 miles away from your job?
No, it'll put me about 30 miles away, I live about 25 now, so... Moving closer to the school doesn't
change things for you.
No.
What about
your
husband?
Actually, it puts him a little closer to his work.
Okay. So you make it up in time saved. You will figure out another way to save money. You'll live cheaply for a year, and you'll put away as much as you can. And you may find a HUD home that you love that only costs you $100 to get in or $1,000 to get in, and find that in 3 or 4 months you've got that money back. I don't think you should. You know, this is a huge loss to go from a house you paid $285,000 to you only owe $200. Clearly, you guys did everything right the first time, and you're getting slapped on the hand for it, and that's horrible. But reality is reality, and you know, as you know from listening to me and listening to my show, that, you know, let's just try and find the easiest way out. And if somebody can buy your house and it qualifies, let's say, for 194 instead of 189, you know, so you won't use 20, maybe you'll use 16.
Yeah, the only other question, because I mean, everything you're saying makes sense. It's just a matter of biting the bullet and going ahead and doing it. As far as selling the house, are there any options? Like, or do you know of any possibilities where we could sell our house and maybe not pay commission on the house we're selling, but let the agent have 100% of the commission on the house we're buying? Is that ever a possibility?
Well, like the problem, it may be, but the problem is that the agent that you are, that you would use to buy a home 30, 40 miles away is not going to be the same agent. So it just wouldn't happen. And you wouldn't get 100%. They wouldn't be able to get 100% of the commission because they share it with the broker and they share it with the selling agent. So it doesn't generally work that way.
Yeah, that's true.
You could try and sell it yourself, but honestly, I wouldn't recommend it. Not in this kind of a marketplace.
No, there's too much competition. We would have to have it.
Yeah, you really need, what you need is the most aggressive agent who's going to do absolutely everything for you to get the highest price possible. and, you know, we'll work with the appraiser to make sure that they understand what is selling in the house, in the neighborhoods, and all the rest.
Mm.
I wish I had a magic bullet for you. I really do.
So do I.
Oh. Will you let me know what happens?
I will. I absolutely will. I appreciate your time and input.
If I can help any further, I will try and put something up on the blog and website and talk about it on the weekends. And
excellent. I'll check that. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Kim.
Bye-bye.
50 minutes past the hour. If I could have a magic bullet for some of the callers, I would have used one with Kim. I really would. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 56 minutes past the hour. So my husband Sam was listening to the show when I was talking about the different passwords. And remember I said I didn't know what QWASCZX are? And he said, passwords, you know, of course, it's the first two keys from the top to bottom on the left side of the keyboard. And I looked at it, and it's like, oh, QWASZX. So you know how QWERTY, QWERTY, which is the top whole thing? This is just, you know, QW, second line, AS, and then SZX. I looked at it differently. Okay, thank you, Sam, for figuring that out. Really appreciate it. 404-872-0750. I do not have the mind of a criminal, I got to just say. I do not have the mind of a criminal. You know, before we get to this last call, I just want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners here at WSB. It has been such a remarkable year. It's been a remarkable 5 years, but 2011 has just got to go down in the years being one of the most remarkable that I can remember in the 14-odd years that I've been working at WSB. And just so you know, I have so much support behind the scenes, and so I really want to recognize Alan Hunt, who is the guy who's running the board today. He's just an amazing man. So great to have him on board. And then Crystal Wheeler, our executive producer for the Sunday show, but she's also here answering your calls today. She's the one who makes ThinkLink happen with respect to what's going on with WSB. And there are just other amazing people who participate behind the scenes, like Fred, and Clint was around for a long time, and Eric was around before Clint, and you're just people who make this show happen. And so I just have, you know, for all of Clark's staff as well, you know, Krista, and you've got Kim, everybody who just put so much effort into getting you this information, just a big thank you from me to them for allowing me to come on and be a part of this show. I just love it, and I love doing the Sunday show as well. And thank you for making it sound as good as you do, because that's how all of us work in radio. You know, we only sound as good as the people who are behind us. And at WSB, there are just absolutely amazing people who are here making this show happen. So a big Happy New Year to everybody, and a thank you for the year that we've had. I hope you'll join us on Sundays, 11 to 1. I'll be back to fill in for Clark, I hope, early in the year. In the meantime, he'll be back tomorrow. You know what we have tomorrow? We've got football. No, not football. Basketball. Basketball. Alan C. saving me again. Basketball tomorrow at 1:30. So Clark will be back, though, next week after the holiday. We've got Sean Hannity next. Again, big Happy New Year. I hope that 2012 brings you everything that you desire. See you soon, guys, and Happy New Year.